Good afternoon. Today is Friday, March the 2nd, 61st day of the new year. Join us this afternoon. Occasional visitor, Dave Tyson.
I'm happy to be back.
What was that, your incognito glasses?
I was pretending to be you.
Really?
I had to put on my new glasses.
A little weight, grow a little bit, and lose some hair.
Working on all of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Aren't we all? I imagine we've got a lot of just city stuff to talk about.
A lot of
today.
Catching up since we missed last month.
Was it just last month?
It was just February, yeah.
Oh. Oh, that's right. You were off gallivanting places in the valley.
Could be.
It wasn't Cache Creek, though.
No,
might as well take care of that.
I think I was actually in Willits.
Well, that's pretty close to the valley from our perspective. No, wait. Were you driving up?
Probably coming back, coming home.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Willits.
Okay, fine. So you were moving Target in Willits. Yeah, I didn't think you were having a meeting in Willits. We'll find out what has been going on though when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson, but before we do our quote this afternoon, you know, I could go with a really long quote, and I could filibuster
the program. You could actually take over. That would probably be good.
Well, it could be, but then, yeah, it's so routine. Here we go. Robert E. Lee.
I like Robert E. Lee.
I cannot trust a man to control others who cannot control himself.
That's very true.
Yeah, which that plays into the current events of the day, doesn't it? That's as close as you get
probably,
to anything.
Probably people say that a lot about me.
Really? Yeah, maybe.
Well, I was just kind of...
Upon reflection.
I was just kind of kidding.
Oh, you were, huh?
You didn't have to take that.
I don't know. We've had a lot of shaking heads up and down around here in the last 10 seconds or so I don't know.
That's what that noise was.
Yeah, rattle, rattle, rattle. Yeah, okay. So what you been up to the last little bit, other than driving through Willits?
Well, we've been working on fire. You want the list. I'm working on fire consolidation.
Isn't that done?
No, it's far from that. But we have made some progress. We've been working on the mid-year budget.
What's left with fire consolidation?
Well, I wish everything was as easy as just putting an agreement together and coming up with how to split the dollars and cents of it. But it's a difficult proposition. You have two entities that have existed for many decades and long histories.
But they both bought into it.
We've both bought into the marriage. We have a joint chief, and we have joint training for the departments. And we've had what's called auto aid for a couple of decades now.
Yeah, a long time.
Which means that you get a yellow truck or a red truck, depending on where you're at, but we don't look at boundaries anymore. And so we've been working on that for a while. And we got our first draft of the report here about 2-3 weeks ago from CityGate, who are the consultants. And they demonstrated to us that it could be done. And they're going to refine the numbers. And we're going to have a community forum on their results here sometime probably in May or so that we can share with the community what it says. But the one thing that's off the table is the district annexing the city, meaning they would come in and provide fire services through annexation of the city. But what's still on the table...
Wouldn't the city annex?
Most likely
we
wouldn't annex the entire district because we're not going to provide services, other services like police and planning programs and engineering and roads and streets up Greenwood Heights or up Neyland or Humboldt Hill or out, far out reaches of Elk River. So it's not likely that you would see a city annexing a district that has those big geographic boundaries. But there was talk about the district actually coming in and annexing the city for fire services only. And we looked at that.
And, oh, yeah. Just that. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes more sense now.
So we looked at that. It didn't make financial sense, primarily because there's not a guaranteed revenue source that we could give the district that would not be something that would be controlled by a future city council.
It's general fund.
Generally, you have to transfer all your property tax to the fire district or the annexing property or annexing entity. In our case, in the general fund, we get about $2 million in property tax. Our fire services cost about $6.5 million. So as you can see there with the math, it would leave quite a hole. Now,
sounds like a deal for the city.
I offered to the Chief Wood and some of the board members that we would accept that transaction.
It wasn't quite received with the same spirit of kumbaya.
Yeah, they got a kick out of it.
Yeah,
let's just say.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
And
good.
As did we. So we are looking at consolidation through contract, and however that takes, what form that takes, we haven't really decided. It could be a joint powers authority where we have an entity that's created that we both contribute to. We could do that for the whole departments, or we could do that just for our management team. So
it sounds like it's the business side of it, not the functional side of it.
It's the business side of it. The firefighters, the operations side of it, they're already doing it. It's a matter now of the dollars and cents and in moving, you know, the political boundaries and creating an entity that we can move forward with.
Kind of doing the cleanup, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's difficult, but, you know, everybody's in this 100%, and I give a lot of credit to Chief Wood for shepherding this forward, continuing to move that effort forward, and while being our fire chief, for the city as well.
You mean still working?
Yeah, he's still
working.
He's the fire chief for the district and the city. So
it's okay, and he's very familiar with Woodley Island, too, I know firsthand.
Well, I think that's where the fire guys like to meet.
There's
something about that.
Some draw that's there.
I think it's the water or something. I don't know.
Oh, wouldn't be the chowder. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:21. It's not that deep. Figure it out. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 4:26. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Okay, so the first segment, we dealt with number one on your list. Okay, how deep does your list go? Because you realize the deeper your list goes, the shallower my list becomes.
Well, you know, this should be all about you then.
Oh, sure.
I do want to make a plug for our mid-year budget if there's time for that at some point. But
well, let's go for it now.
Okay.
We've heard an awful lot about the redevelopment agency not being funded, the state having this huge hole, this huger hole than, I don't know, Brown is saying $9 billion. Phil Arnott put forth a pretty compelling argument on Wednesday with his community comment saying it's really only two, but he's packing in a $7 billion increase in other areas in order to make the tax thing happen. Okay. So for little old Eureka, what's it look like for next year? Is it, without the tax being passed at the state level, does it still work?
Yeah, you know, in our budget, I don't want to ever say that they can't do any more to us because they certain that they being the state they certainly can.
There is a challenge that will be met. Yeah,
you know, redevelopment I think was the prime example. We thought we were pretty bulletproof in the area of redevelopment, and with all the programs there, and you know, had been bleeding in redevelopment for years to the state, and then finally they ended redevelopment here in February, and so. You know, redevelopment was a great tool for local governments. The city of Eureka took advantage of redevelopment for a number of years. And, you know, anytime you walk the boardwalk or go to the boat basin or go to the Dorney
fish and chip shop
or Dorney Center. We're just looking for you to operate it.
No, not burnt. Good.
Yeah, no, there is a vendor that's serious, and we've been working with them. But with the going away of redevelopment, one of the funding sources for the tenant improvements, the loans, you know, so we're have gone.
Wouldn't a bank step up for that?
Probably, but not to the degree that this. You know, they're going to need more than the funding that a bank could provide. I mean, we generally are the lender of last resort, so we'll come in behind a bank and provide funding.
The last 10 or 15%.
Yeah.
So can't you cut a deal with the rent or something to pencil it out so, you know, a year down the road?
Yeah, and it kicks in? And those are the kinds of things we can work on.
So you don't need the redevelopment?
Well, we need the initial, you know, cash to do those transactions, and so those are the things we're sorting out as we go through the successor agencies and the oversight agencies and who's on first, and so that
ball game tomorrow at 11:50.
Giants versus Diamondbacks, is that it?
I believe.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Well, actually, you're going to hear it across the hall, but that's okay.
So, you know, we've been spending a lot of time on redevelopment. The state could come in next year and find another way to slow pay us on something or not pay us on some other tax that, you know, they collect on behalf of local governments. But, you know, with our budget last year, you know, we got a great helping hand from the voters with the passage of Measure O, which helped us primarily preserve our public safety departments, which was looking at significant cuts in order to balance the budget if we weren't able to get Measure O. Revenues this year are holding their own. We're not seeing any decreases in the major revenue sources from our estimates.
What do you think Walmart's going to mean? Or have you guys projected that at all?
Not sales tax? We've not projected that into our estimates at all at this point. But a store like that, you know, could probably generate between $350,000 to $500,000 in sales tax to the city any given year.
And that's not in what you're looking at for next year?
No, we've not factored that in yet. So that, you know.
It would be a nice little surprise.
It would be an addition that we would build in future budgets. But going into this fiscal year, we thought we'd have about a $1.9 million surplus or reserve at the end of the year, not a surplus.
Whoops. Yeah. Boy, did he step in that one, huh?
Yeah.
Well, and swimmer, you dove. I'm sorry.
I dove into that one. Yeah. And so, but with the departments holding the line and not expending monies that have been appropriated and trying to find those areas to save, we've been able to project into the end of this fiscal year about $1 million increase in our reserves from the $1.9 million to about $2.9 million.
Is that the optimal?
Yeah. Well, you actually know. I mean, we're still being very conservative in our estimates.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Anything exciting going on this weekend?
For me?
Yeah.
You know,
that would be the big me, the community me, the royal me.
No, I think it's a nice quiet weekend this weekend. Boy, he caught me off guard with that.
Well, you know.
I'm doing my, you know, yard work.
And I can. You're doing artwork?
Yard work.
Oh, yard work. Okay.
You don't want to see any artwork.
No, you know, I thought that it was Bill and Ziggy who did it, but it was Bill, Ziggy, and Dave.
Right. Pretty much.
What is going on with the zoo right now? Is it on solid footing? There's certainly more community interaction because of some of the fundraising that's now required. So it's probably a tighter support group, and the community has more buy-in to it. But is the zoo doing what you'd like it to be doing?
Well, one of the silver linings in going through the budget that we went through for 3 or 4 years, I was going back over some of that history in preparation of the mid-year budget report. You know, I think the community really came out in support of the zoo. I mean, there were a lot of discussions about the zoo and the city's funding of the zoo. And from that, I think it just really strengthened the resolve of the foundation and of the council and the community that they came out and said, no, we have a long history of the zoo, and we're willing to support it through, you know, admissions fees, but we want to keep our zoo. And so from that, you know, we've seen a lot of proactive things going on through the foundation and through staff at the zoo. And the most recent is, you know, the grant that we've received to do the upgrades, or this next phase of the upgrades to the zoo. And, you know, that's the exciting thing. I see the foundation just hired, or is in the process of hiring, their project manager to run the project. And, you know, we anticipate them going out to bid soon with the improvements. And, you know, bringing back the otters and bringing back some of the things that people want to see out there.
Yeah, I heard salmon.
Salmon, yes. So it's going to be...
You know where the best salmon is you can see?
On your plate.
Thank you.
I don't know why I said that.
Under a little garlic and a little dill and a little butter, yeah.
Well, we'll keep you away from that exhibit then.
Yeah, make sure the lid stays on the tank.
So, you know, and we're moving towards that type of zoo, which I think people really enjoy seeing, you know, the fish of, you know, fish or the native species more than they do, you know, some of the species we've had in the past. Not to.
We're going to get a walrus?
You know, I don't think so, but you could push for a walrus.
Yeah. They were always kind of cool.
You could identify maybe with a walrus.
Yeah.
So, you know, the zoo is a tremendous asset to the city. And, you know, since we started charging admissions and having a gate, we can kind of keep track of the number of visitors. And, you know, it's increasing every year.
And is parking becoming a problem?
If you're some of the neighbors, yes. The parking is a concern of certainly on certain days of the week. I have to say that some of the neighbors do have concern about parking and the impacts that has and the traffic in their neighborhood, especially there in the area of, you know, Hodgson and Chester and
yeah, traffic. That's not going to be zoo related. That's Cutton related.
Cutton.
Anything else.
But then you add ball fields and
just the activities,
soccer games.
The
yeah.
But I can't recall a lot of things, but I can't recall parking at the zoo ever being an issue. But it seems to be getting step by step, a little bit more and a little bit more, a little bit more. You have a day like today, maybe in 3 months, so it's a little warmer.
Well, yeah, right now everybody's listening to our show.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Glued to the show.
Yeah.
You've got the parking for the ball fields. You got the zoo. You got the normal activity. You got the walkers. Everybody kind of, vying for areas. And then if the National Guard was being used, the Armory was being used more as it has historically as a meeting area, parking really all of a sudden becomes an issue because there are no allowances
for
parking.
It does become a premium. We do have the area there on Russell that, you know, the city developed 30 years ago that created that perpendicular parking that along Russell there by the ball fields or by the school grounds.
30 years ago?
Yeah, I would say.
Wow.
It was before I came to the city of Eureka, so that was 22 years ago. I know. Time flies.
Boy, that's
but you go by the Sequoia Park on a given Sunday, and, you know, there's a couple hundred people there minimum.
Yeah, the swings are swinging and the balls are
families
there.
Are there, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And then, you know, as you know, I'm a runner, so I run down through those areas, and there's people everywhere inside the forest. So it's a great asset, and I believe that through this tumultuous time we went in the budget, I think it really hardened the community's resolve when it came to that asset and the importance that it plays in our community. And they didn't want it; they don't want it to go away. And
can you nibble on the whatever the side street is?
Glatt.
Is that the one that would run into Washington, the playground?
Yes.
Nibble and do some parking over on that side. Not to take a go after the garden area necessarily, but drop a couple of trees and kind of push that back a little bit. I mean, that would seem to be the logical.
Yeah, there's
area.
Not a lot of area there. The one area we have looked at as the park evolves is up, as the zoo evolves, is up by the park area. There's that green space that's quite large.
You mean the lawn?
The lawn. And using some perpendicular parking in there just off the road, moving back the little redwood fence that we have there.
So kind of like where the train
used to be.
Depth,
yeah, where we used to
strip it
have
across.
The train there, right.
Where is that thing now, anyway?
I think it's, I believe it's out at the...
museum? Or
yeah, the...
Timber Heritage?
Timber Heritage Storage.
I remember crawling all over that. That would probably require ADA access now and...
There are issues.
Liability. Yeah.
Kids like you and I falling off of it.
We just banged our head and went home. Yeah.
But we learned how to run a train.
Yeah.
At least we thought.
Yeah. Or make the noise as if we did. KINS News and Information Times 442. We'll be back with yet one more segment that Dave has absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about when we return.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 446. Last couple of minutes with Dave Tyson. We'll see who wins, the filibusterer or the questioner. Economic development, Dave. The county has determined in the last week to split the building from economic development, building planning. I won't ask you your opinions about that because I think I know. But the concept of having a designated economic development department, director, somebody tasked with getting jobs, getting business, making it happen, that's on city staff. Is that an intriguing proposition for you or an alluring one?
Well, for me, it's an absolute necessity, whether it's an actual person or people doing the job.
Wouldn't it have to be designated to one person? So well, that was a task.
In our case, it's a person.
Yeah.
You know, as we transition through this loss of redevelopment and redefining ourselves, which we are doing, we're trying to maintain a lot of the qualities that we had before. One of my pet peeves, maybe not a pet peeve, but one of my pet things, but it can become a pet peeve, is when we don't pay attention to our existing businesses. And You know, we're all guilty of being busy every day and not reaching out and checking the pulse of our businesses and see what's going on. One of the things that I tried to do when I became manager, and I try to recommit myself to periodically, and we're doing a pretty good job of it right now, is having meetings with our businesses every week. Go out
just
and
call
meet
on a couple guys.
Yeah, and a lot of times they're like, they think they're in trouble when we come.
Well, like, everybody's heard the phrase.
and so we show up, and it's usually, what do we need to do to help you? That's really what we're going for. What are we doing that, you know, irritates you? What are some of the barriers to your business that we might be able to help with, or at least get the word out? And so we do that with our local businesses, and it's really important to have, in our case, that person central to the organization, that businesses or property owners know they can turn to, and, you know, they have a relationship with, besides, say, the city manager or council members, somebody they can go to on staff and meet with on those issues. And in our case, that's Judy Harrison Nelson and Cindy Trobitz Thomas. They kind of share a lot of those responsibilities.
There are a lot of hyphens in there.
Yes. And we go out and meet with our businesses. We do have programs that even remain, you know, post-redevelopment that we can offer to our businesses.
Is it programs or is it information?
It's both. We have programs, such, you know, our low-interest loan, business loan programs. We also have our Enterprise Zone, which helps businesses big and small with hiring credits for their employees and manufacturing credits. And we also have just that ombudsman opportunity to meet with businesses and be there for them if they have a gripe, whether it's a gripe about us or a gripe about, higher governmental authorities, or can we help them remove barriers? And then there's also the larger community of the county of Humboldt, where we interact with the county on economic development, whether it's through REDEC, the county itself, through Prosperity, or the other cities and their economic development efforts. So, you know, I think City of Eureka sometimes gets criticized because we spend a lot of time looking at outside Eureka, but we do try to bring businesses into our community, but we work extra hard on keeping the ones we have here.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Drive safe. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.